This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Good, and I'm going to prove it to you that this thing you're telling us to bow to is useless. The ulama mentioned that many of us think that sin, shaitan of course convinces us to commit sin. We think that it only comes from a nature of being overconfident, a nature of being over-desirous. Many times, shaitan is able to convince us of sin through fear, through insecurity. Look at the ayah. Allah says, الشيطان يعدكم الفقر الفقر ويأمركم بالفحشاء. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that shaitan, he promises you and he scares you. He scares you with poverty. He scares you with failure. You can't do that. You can't give charity because you're going to be poor. You know, how can you take a Sharia loan? You're going to pay too much. How can you take a career like that? A Sharia compliant, you're going to lose. Your salary is going to go down. How can you marry that person? Think about your dunya. Think about your children. Think about this. So shaitan gets us to do haram by using fear tactics. And then, وَيَأْمُرُكُمْ بِالْفَحْشَاءِ. And he also incites our desires. He first belittles us, degrades us, and in fact, this is exactly how shaitan got Nabi Adam to eat from the tree. If you read in the Quran, how did Nabi Adam disobey Allah? Shaitan told Nabi Adam, do you know that you are mortal and you're going to die? He put the fear of death in Nabi Adam. And he said, I will show you a way to immortality. It was not out of disobedience to Allah, but when we are in survival mode, we then cut corners. We then take the thing we shouldn't. We then do the thing we're not supposed to. So shaitan first belittles you, and he raises your fears. And then when you are in that mold of, help me now shaitan, show me the way, he says, do this. And then he makes you to commit the sins. But then Allah says, وَاللَّهُ يَعِدُكُمْ مَغْفِرَةً مِّنْهُ وَفَضْلًا. Allah says, but Allah, he promises you mercy. You don't have to feel scared. Allah is saying, I promise you safety, security, you're going to be okay, and love. And I promise you that I'll take care of you. This is Allah versus shaitan. And so shaitan, all he does, Allah says, يَعِدُكُمْ. He promises you, he threatens you. He can't control you. So he poisons your thoughts. And that's why today we're going to talk about these negative thoughts that all of us had, which is actually un-Islamic. It comes from shaitan, or it comes from your own mental state. It is something which you must fight. Part of your ibadah is to think well about yourself, about your deen, about Allah, and to fight it. The Nabi mentions this. He says, إِيَّاكَ وَالظَّنْ. Beware of conjecture. Beware of thinking about this one and that one. What are they saying? What are they doing? You know, you're making assumptions in your mind. The Prophet says, beware of it. Beware of your thoughts. For dhan, conjecture, is the most false and worst of all tales. The things that play in your mind at night, if it's not dhikr or whatever, the things that you think about, now that guy, why did he look at me like that? He didn't greet me, she did that. What's my mother-in-law thinking of me, my daughter-in-law? Those tales that you play, the Prophet says these are falsehood. Most of it comes from shaitan. Avoid it and do not look at the faults of others. So we need to actively combat our negative thoughts. You have to actively combat your negative thoughts. Let's list some of the negative thoughts. Am I a good Muslim? Am I a bad Muslim? Does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He thinks of me, what is my relationship with Allah from Allah's perspective? Am I failing as a parent, as a spouse, as a husband, as a child to my parents? Am I a failure? How much worth do I have? Maybe as men, for example, even more so, when, you know, financially we struggle, how much am I of worth to my family? If I disappeared tomorrow, what would that mean? I'm not good enough. And you hear this at work even more so. You get maybe your boss, may Allah protect you from an evil boss, he will let you know how bad you are, how weak you are, how you're not meeting expectations, how you're behind the budget, how you're not performing. People want success and then they had dreams. Many of us here are, subhanAllah, mashallah, in the prime of our life. Let's use that, our prime of our life. But there are many things that we dreamt about when we were younger. We never got there. And we think about it, have I failed? My time is almost up. What have I done? What else can we add? Come on, who wants to add a negative thought here that you're thinking about? No? Is that it? There's a couple. Have we had these thoughts? You say, no, subhanAllah, Shaykh, I know what you're talking about. I don't have these thoughts. I think how quiet I am. I know I'm the best. I'm the man. Is this what we really experience? Did we walk out in our home feeling worried, anxious, not knowing what the day holds. When you think of work and the future and tomorrow, it's more of anxiety. Right? That's what we deal with, subhanAllah. And that's not what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to do. The only time Allah says you need to fear and be conscious and really be worried is about our relationship with Allah. It's not a fear of a fear of like a monster. It's a fear of don't disappoint Allah and the fear of the akhirah. That's the only thing really worth fearing. Because Islam, and Allah uses this, Allah says this dunya is like the matrix, it's an illusion. You will not lose in the dunya. Nobody will lose and nobody will win. How do I say so? How much did you have when you were born? How much money did you have? Zero. How much are you going to have when you die? Zero. You're not going to get any more or less from when you're born. You're going to start, you're going to end where you start. Nothing matters in the end. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says nothing matters really. Mata'un ghurur. Allah says it is a it's an illusion. It disappears. Why are you stressing over it? Why are you so worried about it? Why are you beating yourself about it? If you're going to beat yourself up about maybe the akhirah, yes, that should be, that's important. But the dunya and what your boss says? SubhanAllah. So I'm going to give five tips, inshallah, of how to fight these negative thoughts, inshallah. Five tips in our journey to be powerful Muslims. I said this is a series, inshallah. I don't know what's next week. I just know it's part two. But this one is your relationship with yourself. And the only way, and it's you and your mind and you and your thoughts. I know for men, most of your thoughts happen in the toilet. This is the thoughts that we should not have with ourselves in a, there's negative thoughts, positive thoughts. When you're sitting in traffic, when you review your life, when you look at your finances, when you look at your kids, when you take stock of yourself, when life puts it on pause, what should be going through your mind? The first, subhanAllah, and this is what I found as I mentioned Umrah, we should have good thoughts about Allah. We must think well of Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should not invoke a kind of paralysis, a kind of fear, like I don't want to get closer to Allah. This is not the right way of thinking of Allah. In fact, Allah says, the Prophet says, that Allah himself says, this is a what we call a hadith Qudsi, a statement by Allah but not in the Quran. There's a very special hadith about 100 plus where Allah made a statement, but it's not in the Quran. This is one of them. Look what Allah says. Allah says, I am as my servants think of me. If you think well of me, you think I'm kind, you think, then I will be that, inshallah. I am as you think of me. I am able to be for him what he thinks of me. Allah is able to be what you want Allah to be. And I am with him if he remembers me. Allah is always remembering us, and if you remember Allah, and this hadith continues, that if he mentions me, if Allah says you mention Allah to yourself, look at the hadith goes on, Allah says, if you mention Allah in a company, by name, Allah will mention you by name in a much better company, it's amongst angels and the great of creation. Allah will say, Muhammad spoke about me, I'm mentioning Muhammad's name. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioning your name. And if you mention Allah to yourself, you're making dhikr in the traffic, Allah makes a type of dhikr of you. He remembers you in himself, or knows and acknowledges you. This is who Allah is. And subhanAllah, the next hadith, really encompasses who Allah is. The Nabi says that when you're about to die, now may Allah grant us that when we die, it's not suddenly. That we have a chance to prepare for it, and we have a chance. Watch it. Okay. That death comes not all of a sudden. Now imagine you. The doctor tells me, this is your last week to live, or this is your last day to live. The kind of thoughts that are going to go through our minds. We're going to worry about our kids. We're going to worry, is our will in order? We're going to worry about everything, and then obviously worry about the akhirah. What's going to happen tonight when I enter the qabr? You can imagine the anxiety and the fear, and I mean the emotions, one can't explain it. But the Nabi says, after all of that, when you're about to die, when Malikul Maut comes and he's about to pull your ruh, the final emotion that you must have is this. No one should die except thinking positively, Allah. You must at the end of the day say, Alhamdulillah, I think positively, Allah, I put myself in your hands. I'm not the best, but you are perfect. And your mercy is for me as well. You must have positive thoughts. Allah put me here for a reason. He loves me. He cares for me. I'm not going to disobey and disappoint him. Think well of Allah. That's the first thing. Number two, believe in the power of your du'as. Believe in the powers of your du'as. Even if it doesn't come the way you want to, Allah says, وَمَن يَتَّكِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا. That whoever is conscious of Allah, He promises you, He will make a way out for you. He will solve every problem in a way in which He, in a way which He wants to do it. He will fix Palestine. He will cure your diseases. He will give you risk. And Allah says, وَيَرْزُقُهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبُ. And He will open doors for you of risk from where you could not have imagined. He will give you that which you didn't even ask. وَمَنْ يَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَّهُ فَهُوَ حَسْبُهُ. And then Allah will become enough for him. إِنَّ اللَّهَ بَالِغُ أَمْرِهِ. That Allah will make everything, He sets everything right. And on this thing about dua, many times the people will say, my du'as have not been answered. Does Allah even hear or care about me? Does Allah even listen? Now look at this hadith. The Nabi says, a person may hope for something of trade or authority. He wants a position. He wants the promotion. She wants the husband. They want the child of attaining it. And they make du'a and they do everything right. And thereupon Allah looks at this person. Allah looks down at you from the seven heavens and says to the angels, just as about you're going to get it. The boss told you, you know what? Tomorrow the announcement's going to go out, you got the promotion. Just as you're about to get it, you thought, I got it. Allah says, take it away from him. Divert it from him. Take it away from him. Because Allah says, for if he attains it, it will actually lead him to Jahannam. Allah's priority is you get to Jannah. Allah's priority is, this must get to Jannah. This person must get to Jannah. And so he diverts things which are not good for you. And that's what you must believe. When the promotion didn't come for you, when that person denied you, when that proposal broke, when the marriage didn't work out, when the divorce happens, you say, Allah diverted for me from Jahannam. I wanted the promotion. If Allah gave it to me, I would have gotten Jahannam. That's the thought that you must have. Sometimes not getting what you want is bad, but losing something that you had has a kind of guilt. What did I do wrong? And yes, we must reflect. Sometimes there are consequences to our actions. You think well of Allah, you make dua for even the impossible, Allah can make anything happen. But when you don't, when things get taken away from us, we lose our job, we lose our health. How do we deal with that loss? Allah says, look at this, it's not about you. Allah wants to remind us, most of what's happening, you and I only have a small impact. Make salah, avoid sin, make dua. There's a much bigger budget happening here that we are not part of. Allah says, مَا أَصَابُ مِنْ مُصِيبَةٍ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَلَا فِي أَنفُسِكُمْ. Whatever happens in the dunya of calamity, in the world around you, or in yourself personally, إِلَّا فِي كِتَابٍ قَبْلَ أَيْ نَبْرَأَهَا. Allah says, it has already been recorded in a book, in a register, long before you were created. Long before you were there, the budget cut was already there. The job was going to be taken away, no matter how hard you worked. Allah says, I've already decreed that. Not about you. إِنَّ ذَلِكَ عَلَى اللَّهِ يَسِيرٌ. Allah says, that's easy for Allah. So Allah, and subhanAllah, what I love about the ayah, is the next ayah. So Allah's not only saying, I determine what calamity befalls you before it even happens. Allah says, I'm telling you that I've already decreed your calamities for you. Why? لِكَيْ لَا تَأْسَوْا. So you don't feel bad. عَلَى مَا فَاتَكُمْ. That's what you've missed out. You don't beat yourself up. Also, I don't want you to be paralyzed. It feels bad to be sick and lose a job. No doubt. But don't beat yourself up about it. لِكَيْ لَا تَأْسَوْا عَلَى مَا فَاتَكُمْ وَلَا تَفْرَحُوا بِمَا آتَاكُمْ. And don't become too boastful when things do go your way. It wasn't about you. وَاللَّهُ لَا يُحِبُّ كُلُّ مُخْتَالٍ فَخُورٍ. Allah doesn't like those who boast and those who are arrogant. So number one, think well of Allah. Number two, believe in the power of your du'as. When things are bad and shaitan tells you, not possible, it's impossible, it's going to happen, it will happen. Like Allah opened the Red Sea for Nabi Musa. Like Allah opened the way for the Anbiya. It's not just for them, it's for us also. When things go bad in my life, Ya Allah, if I made a mistake, I make istighfar, Allah forgave me. And if still it's not about me, Ya Allah, you knew better. The calamities that befell me, Allah decreed that for a wisdom that I don't know. Number four, thinking about death and the Akhirah. You say, yeah, you want me to think positively, you tell me to think about death. How does that work? Thinking about death takes away all the crap of the dunya. Then that deadline, that performance review, that budget is meaningless. If you got the diagnosis from the doctor, you've got 6 months to live. I guarantee you, your inbox will not worry you anymore. I guarantee you that business deal will not worry you anymore. The dunya stuff will be put into perspective. It's not big. We make the dunya like life and death. Literally. You miss something in the dunya, it's like someone died. No. When you really think about life and death, then it takes away the nonsense of the dunya. The Nabi says, Whoever is mainly concerned about the Akhirah, if your mindset is only Akhirah focused, that's the most important thing, mainly. I don't say only, mainly focused, because you can't only be focused on the Akhirah. Your main focus is Akhirah, the day I die. I need to think about my janazah, who's going to be behind me, are my kids ready, am I ready with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that's my focus. Whoever is mainly concerned about the Akhirah, Allah will make him feel independent of others. You will have no more worry about your boss. You have no more worry about your clients. Yes, the brothers in the AC on? Right. The whole masjid looks that way. Right. So, whoever is mainly concerned about the year after, Allah will make him feel independent of others, and Allah will make you focused and contented. You won't worry anymore. You have only one big worry. I only have one big worry, the day I die. What happens after my death? That's the only worry to worry about. Again, in perspective, if you got a guarantee from Allah, when you die, you're going to Jannah. Will you really worry about, okay, I missed the holiday, I missed the bonus? Honestly, if Allah told you, you're going to Jannah when you die, will you care about this dunya? You'll just be, when I get to my death, alhamdulillah, I can persevere. And that's what it is for a Muslim. We all believe, inshallah, we'll go to Jannah. Conversely, Allah says, the more you focus on the dunya and fear the dunya and worry about the dunya, you won't have any peace of mind. And you won't even get the dunya. It won't even come to you. The hadith says, Allah will put your dunya affairs in place for you. So that's the first thing, think well of Allah. Number two, believe in your du'as. Believe in your du'as. Number three, when things go bad, reflect, yes, but realize a lot of it is not about you. It's Allah's plan. Number four, put your thoughts in perspective. Whenever you have that negative thought, think about Akhirah. This is the priority. Am I on track with my Akhirah? Am I on track with my Akhirah? And the last thing, just do. Stop thinking and do. Allah says, "Man amila salihan," whoever of you does good deeds, whether you're male or female, and you're a believer, you're all believers, alhamdulillah. Allah says, whatever, just do good. Feed someone, make extra dhikr, just do good. فَلَنُحْيَنَّهُ حَيَاةً طَيِّبَةً. I will give you a peaceful life. I will give you a happy life. You will have a happy life. Sometimes the thinking is the problem. The overthinking, the over conjecture, sitting and thinking and worrying and worrying and worrying. Just do good. Good, do good. Just do good. Allah says, I'll give you a good life. وَلَنَجْزِيَنَّهُمْ أَجْرُهُمْ بِأَحْسَنِ مَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ. In the dunya, I'll give you a peaceful life. And in the akhirah, I will give you a reward better than the best that you've done. Just do good. And this, subhanAllah, is the beginning stage, inshallah, as we said, to become a strong and prosperous Muslim. The last, the hadith, which we base the series on, encompasses all of this. And if we take one thing away, then think about this hadith. The Nabi says, to be a strong believer, a believer that gives, a believer that fights injustice, a believer that stands up, a believer that is proud of his deen, a believer that is they give strength to others. You're only strong when you help others. Being strong and not doing anything with it is not strong. So a believer that is strong is better and more beloved to Allah than the weak believer. The one who is struggling, the one who is the weak believer. Although the hadith, and the hadith says, but both are good. Why are they both believers? Allah loves them both. But the strong believer, the leader, the one that's out there and doing, he's better to Allah. So then the Nabi says, strive to do that which will benefit you and seek the help of Allah. Don't be scared to go out there and strive. I'm not only talking about your striving for goodness in terms of make more tahajjud. When there's a business opportunity, when there's something to study, when there's anything in the life, be brave to take opportunities and say, Ya Allah, this is a halal thing I chose. I want good for my family. I want good for the deen. I want to do good. I trust in you and I go. We are too scared to try. We are so connected to our jobs and our paychecks and we don't want to keep our heads under the water just to survive. Prophet says, don't be like that. What's the worst that can happen? You're going to die. You're going to die. What's the worst that's going to happen? You're going to die. We're all going to die. So what? Strive. Be brave. Strive for that which will benefit you of dunya or akhirah. If there's goodness in it, take the plunge. And then trust in Allah. Seek help from Allah. Put your trust in Allah and seek His help. And do not ever feel helpless. Don't ever feel that my world is not going to work. I'm not going to survive. You will survive it. You will make it. And you will come through it. And if it doesn't work out, now he's also saying it's always going to be hunky-dory. Yes, that business opportunity will fail. Yes, it's not always going to work out. And then he says, and if anything befalls you, you tried and you failed, what must you do now? Do not say, if only only I had done so. If only I didn't listen to that stupid lecture. No, don't say if only such and such, then such and such would have happened. Rather say Allah has decreed and what Allah wanted has come to pass. Allah had a different plan and alhamdulillah Allah's plan came to light. Because the Nabi, this thought of if only, it's called lawla, 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 like the name. If only is the door of shaitan. The minute you say if only, then shaitan jumps into your mind and he poisons your thoughts. So be brave, take the plunge, strive, be confident. I have the haq on my side. I have Allah on my side. And when things go rough, I can make dua and Allah can open any door. And if finally it's a failure, there's no way of thing, then say alhamdulillah, Allah wanted something better for me and move on. That is the confidence of a powerful Muslim. May Allah grant us all to be strong Muslims for His sake. May Allah grant us to be strong, that be pleased, so we can do good in the dunya and we submit to Him and Him alone. Ameen. Just a few announcements. We announced that on Sunday, of course, is there's our feeding program, of course, but on Sunday after Maghrib is Mi'raj. We will be having our Mi'raj program. I'd like to hear from you if there's anything specific you'd like to hear with regards to Mi'raj. We had a few topics over the years. If there's anything really specific that you want, please share with us. Give us some ideas. We appreciate it. And I think there's a watch. If anybody lost their watch, please come after Jummah. Jazakallah khair. Wa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Alhamdulillah rabbil alameen. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.